there are so many opportunities now online, more than there ever were before, and so many mentors to also help like guide the way to reduce the amount of time that it can take you to get there, or to help you get faster through those like lessons learned kind of moments. And I just think that the opportunity is there if you want it enough. You need to want it enough to like put in the hours and put in the work and figure it out. But I also came into, I think one of the like secrets is just to, I never thought about failure. Like I never thought, oh, I don't think it's going to work out and I'm going to have to go back to public health. I just always assumed I could make it work.
Welcome to this week's episode of the Online Creator Podcast. My name is Kim, your podcast host, business mentor, and audio storyteller. This show is a space to inspire through conversations and community to help us keep connected, keep inspired, and keep moving towards our goals. Expect to hear honest conversations and real-life experiences from entrepreneurs at every stage of business and from a wide range of industries. Find your confidence, see what is possible, and build the legacy that you have dreamed of. Let's get started. Hello. Thank you so much for joining me on the podcast this morning. And I actually forgot to even ask how to properly pronounce your name. Is it Gemma?
It's Gemma Bonham Carter. It always trips people up, whether it's the first one or like they say Gemma, or then they say like Boham Carter. Yeah. Don't worry about asking because everybody does.
Okay. Well, perfect. I'm so glad you said that before I messed it up. Before we get started, can you give everybody a brief introduction of who you are, what you do, who you serve?
Yeah, absolutely. So as I said, my name is Gemma Bonham Carter, and I really help online entrepreneurs, usually coming from either like a service-based background or a content creator background, create and launch online courses. And then typically I continue working with them and we help grow those online course businesses to kind of the revenue levels that they're really after to really create, you know, a more flexible, like freedom-based business model. And that's really what I do in a nutshell. We've got a couple of core programs. One is called Course Creator School for those first-time course launchers. And then we've got a program called Passive Project, which is where kind of like the next step where we start to build funnels and do a bunch of like up sort of next level marketing strategies together. And I've been doing this since, I've been in the online world actually since 2010. In a completely different capacity as a blogger. But I launched my first course in 2017 for other bloggers and have sort of grown this version of my business since then.
Oh, that's so cool. And I feel like that's such a good way to explain the evolution of where you were and where you came from. And I think a lot of us get hung up on those changes, those pivotal times where we should be looking at change. And it's good just to hear that that's a normal thing, because I think more and more of us are trying to figure out how to lean into those changes, right?
Oh my gosh, I can't tell you how many pivots I have made. So yes, lots of pivots, lots of changes, and lots of, frankly, sometimes just throwing spaghetti at the wall to see what sticks in the early days. We could have a whole podcast episode about all the business ideas Gemma tried in trying to become an entrepreneur, because right? There were many.
Oh my gosh. Okay. I like to start the season off with asking people what their platform of choice is, because I think that's an interesting one, right? Like I feel like you might have told us, like maybe you started off in the blogging world. So that was your platform. Is it still that, or how has that evolved?
Yeah, it is not. I would say that it depends on how you qualify platform. But for me, email marketing is like the heart and center of my business. And so my answer would always at this point, and it has been probably since 2018, is email. It's where I connect with, I have my biggest number of like followers or subscribers on there. It's where I pour the most into like the content that I'm sending. I'm the most like consistent and regular, and I feel like I can be the most myself on email, which seems funny because I think a lot of people maybe struggle with that, but I've been able to kind of find my voice there. And yeah, it's where the majority of my like sales and revenue come in too.
Okay. And has finding your voice and writing in that way been something that you've grown into, or something that you've always just naturally been able to do?
I mean, I think I definitely grew into it. And this is probably where those early blogging days really helped me out. I go back and look at my earliest blog posts, like, it's horrifying to go back and look at those. They're so, you know, badly written. I just didn't have a clue of what I was doing. And so that was actually an early lesson on that blog was actually more tutorial based around like home decor and DIY projects. So I really figured out blending tutorials and kind of like my fun personality and bringing those things together. Cause it was like a diary style blog, but it was still teaching. And I think finding that balance meant that when I did transition into becoming like an online business strategist and I started sending emails, while I didn't nail it from the beginning, it was that same idea of, okay, I actually want to blend like educational value emails with my personality. And how can I bring those two things together so that I can create emails that are entertaining, but also make you want to stick around and stay subscribed because you're actually learning something that's going to help you grow your business. And so, yeah, it was always an evolution and a learning process, but I do think like blogging actually gave me, you know, an early upper hand in that.
I think there's an absolute art to that, but I'm glad you also said that it was a bit of a trend, you know, a bit of a learning curve. And I say that to all my clients too, who are wanting to start off podcasting. And I'm like, your first few are not going to be fun. They're not going to be great. It's something that you have to practice. And it's just like anything, right? It's a muscle that we need to practice. So
yeah. And I remember someone saying to me, like, if your first, whatever that might be, fill in the blank. So for in this case, if your first podcast episodes aren't horrible, like it's you started too late. Like they should be embarrassingly bad because you just went for it and started instead of waiting like 6 months, 12 months, 18 months, 5 years to like perfect the idea or whatever it is that you wanted to start.
Yeah, I love that because that's a good reminder of just, you know, just starting somewhere and stop getting caught up in the perfectionism of it all. That's so great. And I would love to hear now how you've transitioned or I guess been able to continue a lifestyle business. And what does actually a lifestyle business even mean to you?
Yeah, this is such a good question because I feel like sometimes this, it can be a bit jargony, right? It can be a little bit like, oh, it's a little sleazy. It can be a little like what the bros write on their sales pages. And I hate to like start to lean into that category. And I think for me, what it means to have a lifestyle business is, I guess like my own definition is just a business that has allowed me to live day to day the life that I want to live. And that for me doesn't mean having, you know, a gazillion dollars and buying like Louis Vuitton handbags and, I don't know, sipping Mai Tais on the beach while my Stripe account goes nuts. It's not that, which is, I think, what's often like promised in the online world. For me, it was in the early days, it meant being at home, like parenting my children when they were very young at home, like not having to go back to my office job. That was what it meant for me in the early days. It has evolved and changed. Well, family is still, of course, like a huge reason why I wanted to grow the business the way I have. But it's also meant now other opportunities for me and us as a family. Things like we've bought real estate. We've made real estate investments now, kind of grown that avenue as like a new business under my family. With, you know, my husband and I did that in partnership, but it was thanks to my online business that really supported that and gave us the opportunity. And I think we're going to talk about this in a little bit, but I've now also moved my family to France. We're based in Canada, but we've moved to France for a year so that my kids can go to French school. We can all improve our French and just have like an experience. And that really, when I think about like a lifestyle business, that's really what it means. It's like when I put on paper of what does that dream day look like, or what is it that I want the year to look like? What are the goals that we have? Can my business like support me in that? I never wanted to feel bound by anything. And that's why I think why I always knew like an office job wasn't for me. It's not that I wasn't good in an office. Like I could perform. I could, my bosses tended to like me, you know, like I could do a good job. But I felt like I had shackles on. Like I felt like I just wanted the freedom to decide how I spent my days, what those days look like. And sometimes those are long working days in my business. But it's what I really like to do. And other days, it's like me picking up my kids early from school so we can like go to the movies or do something silly together. So that's my very long-winded answer. But I hope that sort of paints a picture of where I was coming from.
Yeah, no, I think that's really good. And I think a lot of us can relate to that. I mean, it just means so many different things. And I think you're right. Like, entrepreneurship isn't for everyone, but either is corporate or like a traditional structure of what we were told we were supposed to do for so many years of our life. And I know for me, letting that go, it was difficult. It was hard, but I knew there was so much more I wanted to do. There was so much more I wanted to explore and learn. And I couldn't do that in the structure that I was in. So I think that's, you know, and the freedom, like I work way more in my office at home than I ever did for my traditional job. But yeah, it's, I think that breathes inspiration and life into what other people want to have. What is there things that people need before they even like start that you wish you would have like at least thought about or considered before they just took this leap of faith into trying to create this for themselves? Because it's great to say, but like it is, it's a lot of work.
It is a lot of work. And for me, and maybe it was partly the circumstance of the timing, but I actually never had to like make this big decision to quit. So okay. When I had a 9-to-5 kind of job all through those early blogging years, and the blogging was very much a side hustle. And then I had my daughter and I was on a contract right before her. So the contract just naturally ended for me to go on to mat leave with no expectation of me going back to that same job. So it kind of like gave me this opportunity to be like, oh, okay, this is my time. If I'm going to really be serious about this online business that I have, like I've got to pour into it now and see if I can get it to where it would need to be for me not to go back to a 9-to-5 job. Mm-hmm. And so then there were some interim years between having my daughter and my son where I did take short-term contracts in public health that were always like working remote where I was a consultant and it was never like full-time hours, but it was enough of a buffer financially. So I had like income from my online business plus this buffer from these contracts, and it made up, you know, what my salary had been. And then just over time, I was able to shift it so that my online business was making more and more and I could realistically not take any more contracts on. And so by the time I had my son, I went on mat leave and then never took a contract on again after that. And so I think the reason why I'm telling you this is like, I'm actually not one to be like, hey, we're just going to like up and quit our jobs and assume mm-hmm. that the money is going to flow in because I'm manifesting it. No offense to the manifestors. I love a good manifestation or like journaling moment, but like I'm extremely practical and kind of, I wouldn't say risk averse, but I don't want to feel like worried, you know, from a financial point of view. So okay. I think if there's any way to grow something while you still have income coming in from another source, and so you can make this like shift over time, because to your point, Kim, it's not immediate. You're not going to be making huge sums of money in month one, month six, or even month 12. Like it could take some time to build up that traction. And there's certainly some learning curves. And then the other thing I would say, and this might sound funny coming from someone who teaches people how to do online courses, is I wouldn't start with an online course. So like people often come to me and ask me if like they're the right fit for my programs. And when people do that and they have no business yet, like there's no online presence, they haven't really done anything, like the answer is no, because launching a course is something you layer into a business later. Once you have a bit of an established audience, it doesn't need to be huge, but you need to have some, you need to have had an online presence. You need to either be a content creator or have delivered some services before. So you just need to have done some of this stuff before. And so I would actually say if you were starting an online business, the best thing is to start with one-on-one services, like from a financial point of view. If you want to get to a certain financial place and you're just looking to quit your job as soon as possible, then start with services because it's just more clear. You know, you could book out a certain number of clients, charge a certain amount, and make a certain amount of revenue right off the bat. And now I'm really going on a tangent here, but it doesn't matter, in my opinion, if that service is like the thing you want to build your whole business around, or it's the same thing you want to be doing 5 years from now. You might start by just getting your business off the ground, but let's give an example. I know so many people who got their businesses off the ground by either offering something like social media services or copywriting or something of that nature. Now, were they head over heels in love with providing social media services or copywriting? No, but it like gave them the paycheck that they needed to then sort of build up more of a personal brand and take the business in the direction they really wanted to go in. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah, it totally does. It's like easing into, you know, the online space in any way, shape or form. And I 100% agree with the advice you gave. And that's what I did as well. I'm way too practical too, because that's how I was taught and raised, right? I mean, like I said, you stay in those jobs. You graduate, you get that degree, you stay in that job till you can pull out a full pension. And when I decided, you know, it was during those COVID years, like most of us, to learn some new skills online. And then once I got a taste for, oh, I can actually do this and I can bring a lot of these skill sets to this space, but I needed to build a foundation before I was able to quit that full time. But yeah, it's nice to be able to ease into leaving that structure and then also building up a structure that works for you on the space. And I think both of those make sense. Like, that totally makes sense. So let's dig into the exciting part. Like, when you decided that, I'm sure you talked to your husband and you were like, okay, like, I've got this idea, or did you figure it out together? And how did that evolve? And what does that even look like
to be able to move? Are we talking about my business or the move to France?
The move to France. Let's talk about that.
Okay. So how did it come about? Should we start there?
Yeah, let's start there.
Okay. Well, I mean, it really came about in the very early stages of my relationship with my husband, because we were both brought up in families that traveled. My parents traveled for their work as research scientists, and I was an only child, so I was often just like tag along to like conferences around the world. And then my husband, he grew up in a family where his dad did international development work, so they were often doing trips as well. So we both had this desire for travel and this like value of travel early on in our relationship, and always kind of talked about, hey, even when we have kids, I want to really make sure that like we keep doing this. And so he and I traveled a lot in the early stages of our relationship. Like, we lived in New Zealand for a bit. We went and lived in London, England for a year. You know, we were just sort of, we did 6 months in Southeast Asia. We were always making the most of travel opportunities. So we had kids, and of course, those were like years where you have to kind of, well, you don't have to, but it was easier to like hunker down in your own home and have your family around for support and your friends, your network. And then as we were coming out of those like baby years, felt like, okay, you know, we'd love to do another year abroad. Like, we'd done that 1 year in London, England when I got my master's degree. That was just pre-kids. And we were coming up on like the 10th anniversary of that year. And we'd sort of always said to each other, like, wouldn't it be cool to do one every 10 years at least is a year abroad? So we were coming up to that anniversary, and you know what happened? Like, the world shut down with the pandemic, and we weren't like planning on going in that year or anything, but we'd been talking about it in the relative near future. And we realized, wow, okay, the world can change on a dime. Life can change on a dime. And so we need to like act quickly when the time is right to do something like that. And so as the world like opened up again, we felt safe again, we started to talk about it and realized also, like, our kids, you know, kids grow up quickly. And our daughter was going into grade 4. Our son was going into grade 1. And we sat on the dock at my parents' cottage one late August evening. And we're like, I think it needs to be next year. Like, if we don't go next year, if not now, then when? Was like, it was one of those things. And so I literally opened up Google Maps, and we knew we wanted it to be France because of the French language piece. Although we talked a bit about Brussels because they speak French there as well. But I really wanted the nice weather of the south of France. So we just kind of like cut France in half and started to just look at the south of France, like identify the towns or cities that might be good. And then started to just go through a process of elimination of figuring out where in France we might like to live. And then at the same time, just started to put the wheels in motion of what that would look like. So what would that look like from the perspective of my husband's job, who, like, he still works in a 9-to-5 for government as a consultant. In the end, it turned out like him taking a sabbatical year was the best option. So we did that. But there was like a lot of discussion from that perspective. We had to like rent our house at home. We had to find an apartment here, which we ended up in a town called Aix-en-Provence, which, oh my gosh, I could not have picked a better town. Like, it's absolutely perfect right. for us. You know, we had to like think about our car and pack up our stuff in our home. We had to get visas. We had to figure out the kids' school here in France. I can't even tell you how much paperwork they do in France here. Like, all the bureaucracy is kind of nuts. So it took that year to like really get all of the ducks in a row to be ready to go. And so while it was maybe at times like a little overwhelming, it was also so exciting to think about. And really, we never would have been able to make it happen if it weren't for my business. I mean, or maybe we could have, but it would have been totally different. Like, it would have been us trying to find a job in another country.
Sure.
And then having the partner tag along or, you know, just something. No. This has just given us the flexibility to be like, yeah, we can work from anywhere and be anywhere. And my husband taking a year sabbatical, like we can manage that financially because of the business. So it opened up a lot of doors for us to do this.
Yeah, I think the whole process sounds exhausting, but also super exciting. So you saw the goal, you knew what had to be done, and then you gave yourself that time. But on top of that, it literally blows my mind that you are able to create this business that you can take literally anywhere and support your whole family. Is that not at the end of the day goals? Like, that is so amazing that you are able to do that. And so
that,
inspiring.
To me also feels like the dream. And it's definitely a pinch me moment. Like, honestly, I'm not joking when I tell you when I got started with online courses and stuff, all I wanted was to be able to be at the school pickup. I just wanted to not have to go back to the office, and I needed to just make enough, right? Just to be able to cover certain things in our personal life so that we could make that happen financially. And to be now where I am today is nothing short of mind-blowing to me. Yeah. However, it's also not that I just got obscenely lucky.
You were.
You know, there's definitely, I have privilege. There's been, you know, luck, but like I'm not dismaying that whatsoever. Like a white woman from a comfortable background, like there's a lot of privilege for sure that I definitely want to take into account. However, it's possible. What I mean by saying that is possible for you to do this. Like, it's not, there are so many opportunities now online, more than there ever were before, and so many mentors to also help like guide the way to reduce the amount of time that it can take you to get there, or to help you get faster through those like lessons learned kind of moments. And I just think that the opportunity is there if you want it enough. You need to want it enough to like put in the hours and put in the work and figure it out. And, you know, I've spent many hours in front of my computer just kind of figuring out this whole digital marketing thing. I did not come into this with like a marketing background, like, you know, academic marketing background or anything like that. So for me, it was all really new. But I also came into, I think one of the like secrets is just to feel like you, I never thought about failure. Like, I never thought, oh, I don't think it's going to work out and I'm going to have to go back to public health. I just always assumed I could make it work. And I think that like kept me going.
Yeah, that's kind of like me too. That isn't an option. This is it.
Yes.
And I hope that's what people take away in here though as well, is that to set yourself achievable goals, because you started with just wanting to be there to pick up your kids. And I think a lot of us start with those, like mine did too. Like, I'm just going to make enough to supplement what I was making so that I can contribute what I was contributing, because I always will need to be a contributor, always. And then, you know, then the next goal comes, right? And you're like, okay, I'm going to step this up. But I think that's important for people to hear, because you're not going to go from 0 to 100 like today or tomorrow, but those gradual milestones will get there as long as you place achievable goals that, you know, are doable, and then work towards them and seek help if you need it. And I think that's the other important piece that you said as well. You know, there's tons of mentors out there that have already walked that path. Figure out what the right fit is for you and what direction you really need support in, and then lean into that and be okay with that, and be okay with asking for help, because that's the other thing. It's hard to invest in ourselves. You know, a lot of us are scrappy when we're starting out here because we have to be. Mm-hmm. Or because we're just like, we can learn this, we can do this. Yeah. But it takes us a little longer. And then we're like, oh my gosh, like how many months have gone by? It's already what? And, you know, we're into 2024. So if there's some serious goals that you want to achieve this year, figure out what it's going to take to get there. And I think that's really important.
Workplay is the last branding solution you will ever need. Your Workplay team is your brand photographer, your brand designer, social media manager, and your creative direction bestie. Here to make your Pinterest board dreams a reality with one system, one team, and one flat monthly fee under $500. And no, there's no catch. Your brand is your power. Workplay wants to help you create it fiercely. DM me on Instagram, Workplay, to learn more.
One of the things that you talk about quite often in your stories and in your social posts is about your work day and work week, and that you're very flexible. Can you talk about how you've been able to structure it that way and how you were able to fit as much work as you can in on those times and on those days?
Yeah. And this is something that has changed over time. Like I've gone through periods where, you know, right now my schedule is incredibly flexible. Like people would laugh to see how much white space there is in my calendar. And that's not to say that I don't have a big long list of to-dos, but the calendar is really flex and free. And part of that is because we're abroad and time zones are a challenge, but also part of it is like, I just am not in a moment of time in my business where I want to have too many calls or things like that on the calendar. So that has ebbed and flowed. There was a time in my business where I was doing more one-on-one consulting type work. And so I had more calls. And, you know, some of my tips around that, I had to kind of figure out the right balance because I do work best with having sort of white space. I'm not someone who can really have a call on my calendar every day because that starts to feel draining for me. So for me, the best thing was actually to have call days where like a Tuesday was just for calls and I didn't expect myself to get any other type of work done. And then the other days were more free and flexible. So that has ebbed and flowed over years. And it's also about finding what works best for you. I know now how I work best, where I work best, and I've been able to play with my schedule to allow for that. And so for me, it's really important to have, lots of white space in my calendar. I work extremely efficiently when I am working so that I can have more time in the middle of my day to go for a walk or so that I can go, you know, I love to go do a workout class after we've dropped the kids off from school. So I don't actually get started often until 10 a.m. And then I don't work after we pick up our kids at 4 o'clock or whatever that might be. So, and we take a big long lunch in the middle there. So it's, you know, my hours are short. And my hours are shorter here in France than they've ever been because kids don't go to school on Wednesdays here. So all that to say, like, the hours are tight. My husband and I are often laughing, being like, oh my gosh, like, how much can we fit into these next 2 hours? Like, we've got to just be like head down and go. And I think actually sometimes that's, so while we've been here, that's actually been a very interesting challenge. And while I used to task switch a lot, I used to jump back into my email inbox just to check what's going on and then go back to my, things that I'm working on. I would have way too many tabs open on my calendar, or on my browser. I would pick up my phone and scroll Instagram. Like, I think we can all be guilty of doing that. And I can't here. Like, I really can't. I do not have the time. So I don't even have my phone. I'm sitting right now in our little guest room, which I've sort of used a desk in the corner here as an office. And I don't even bring my phone in here because I cannot get distracted by my phone. And I have the most simple, and I'll hold it up. what you're like not seeing is like this simple page of like, here are the must do's for this week that either it's like things that are like very much like due, like there's time sensitivity to them, or they're just things that I know, okay, I have a bigger goal and I've broken it down. And I know that this week I need to get these two things done in order so that a month from now I'm hitting that goal that I wanted to hit.
That makes sense.
And so on Sundays or Monday morning or whatever, I write this list.
Yeah.
And I'm not perfect every week, but, and I had to also learn like this was way too long in the beginning and I had many weeks of not finishing everything and then feeling guilty about that. And so I've more or less learned what is doable now in a given week. And I'm just ruthless with making sure my time is used incredibly effectively because I know the reward. And the reward is like me getting to walk out to a cafe and sit in the sun and, you know, have a cafe with my husband and just watch like people watch or read my book. Oh, I love reading fiction. Yeah. And so I just want to go be outside and read.
Well, and I think a lot of us overcomplicate the whole scheduling and planning, right? Because we learn all these different techniques. We're like, okay, we're going to try this and we're going to try that. Figure out what works for you and just start doing it. And even if it's like, I know lots of people say, if you have all these things to do in the week, prioritize like every day, just three things. Three things is doable. Like in between client work, three things is doable to be able to work in your business.
Yeah.
However it looks or works, or if it's just one day that you work in your business and then the rest of it split up. But yeah, being able to be focused and laser focused, like you said too. Oh, I got to work on that because I get
it. It is easier said than done. It's hard. And like I still struggle with it. It's really hard. But I think it's like one of those psychology experiments, because it's like once you get the reward of being like, oh my gosh, like I did all of that in just an hour and 15 minutes. Like amazing. You remember how that feels. And then you want to do it again. Right.
100%. I have to ask, I'm just so curious. Your husband's on a sabbatical, but is he helping you in any way in the business?
Oh yeah. Are you kidding?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm just curious.
I'm way too selfish to be like, oh yeah, you go off and just let you know. That's like,
he's doing nothing
and I'm going to be here on my laptop. Yeah. Hell no.
But was that an easy transition or difficult to figure out like where he fit or where he could support you?
Yeah, yeah. No, great question. And I will tell you, he was already doing some stuff for me. So it hasn't been that hard of a transition. So he already, maybe a year or two ago, took on a lot of the like back end financial stuff. He doesn't do the bookkeeping, but he handles everything to give to the bookkeeper, for example. Oh, yeah. He now also has taken on a lot more of like the tech back end system stuff so that I don't need to do that anymore. There's a lot of, just little projects that he's taken on. And it's been a huge help. And it's kind of fun because like we've never worked really together in the business like that. And so it's different. It's like, that's also a new thing, is to learn how to like work together and me not be like totally bossy or just, you know.
Well, it's just hard, right? Because we've been doing this our way for so long. Having support, I think a lot of us do have those partners that are wanting and are curious, but just not sure how to step in. And for us to allow that to, because I'd be just like you too. I mean, what a great opportunity though that you guys have this year to be able to really see how this partnership can work in the business.
Yeah.
And if it's something that you guys continue.
Who knows? And to see like whether he enjoys it, you know,
because
he has a really like successful career at home and could absolutely go back to that when we do move back to Ottawa. So it'll be up to him really to figure out, what his next moves are. And I will say on the down low, he's working on something that could be pretty fun in my business, which involves like building an app. We're still in the very early stages of it, but if that came to fruition, then, I mean, basically he would have built himself his own job because I'm sure there'll be like so much like management and stuff related to the app afterwards, but it'll be a whole new line of revenue. So time will tell.
Cool. Oh, I can't wait to hear about that. Okay. So I know we reached around that time frame, but before I let you go, I absolutely need to hear, because I know funnels is your area of expertise. It's something that you've really been able to propel and support your clients with. I just need to know what you're seeing in the landscape for 2024 with funnels. If there's a short or a simple answer that you can kind of just share with us before we wrap up, because I'm definitely hearing some things. Like I'm definitely hearing that there's been some changes and people are wanting to see things differently, or you need to try things differently. What are you seeing?
It's funny. I think there's always chitter chatter about stuff changing. Yeah. Sometimes I think at the beginning of the year, people talk about that just to have something to talk about. But I will say for us in my particular business, like our funnels, especially the ones that we run for the more like entry level, which is about $1,000 program, like that funnel has been running now profitably since 2020. and continues to do so without any giant changes to the basic structure of it. Of course, I go in and like tweak messaging or, you know, re-record elements of it or rewrite a few parts of the email, or we did an improvement to the sales page late last year. Of course, those optimizations happen over time, but the basic funnel structure that we use has not changed and it's still working. And a lot of my clients are still using that type of funnel structure and it does still work. The thing I will say before I talk about some of the, just quickly, I'll talk about some of the things I'm noticing. One thing that I think gets missed in the conversation around evergreen funnels a lot is the conversation around what is it that you're selling? Because there's a lot of people who come out here and talk about evergreen funnels and they talk about their one secret funnel that's like the answer to, you know, your, it's going to unlock all your success. But they never talk about, or rarely do they talk about, what is the product at the, that's being sold in that funnel? Because for some people, it's who come out and talk about this, it's like very, very high ticket kind of, sometimes it's a hybrid of like done for you services mixed with a course, or it's almost like a mastermind. So it's something in the like the 10K to 15K, even 20K or up range. Mm-hmm. And the funnel to sell that kind of offer versus a $997 course versus a $97 low ticket digital product, those are completely different things. Mm-hmm. It's a different buyer's journey. You need different structures for those. And so I always think it's important when you're looking at experts who are funnel like experts, understanding what type of funnel are they really talking about, so that you know whether or not you're aligned, like if you're, whether your products are aligned with the style that they're teaching. Having said that, here are a couple things that I think are coming down the pipeline. Number one, I think it's, and I, this isn't necessarily new, but it's something I think a lot of people forget, is you don't have to base all of your success on a 10 or 20 day immediate funnel. There is a lot of selling and conversions that happen in the 3 months, 6 months, and 12 months after that. And don't forget about those leads. Like, keep emailing, have consistent long-term email relationships with your people, and they will convert down the line. Like, if my return on ad spend for a particular funnel that I have that we run ads to, if it's like on average 2x, I'm golden with that, because I know that I'm doubling my money just in that first little 21-day funnel. But that my launches that happen, or my live flash sales or promotions, what we tend to see is that 50% of the buyers from those live promotions are people that had gone through the funnel in the 6 months earlier. So it's like they went through the funnel, understood who I am, what I'm all about, what the program's about. It wasn't the right time for them. They wanted to chill and build some know, like, and trust with me, or like maybe wait until it's a better time for them, whatever that looks like. And then they join the next time around. So I think that's a really important to remember, is to not forget the long-term vision there. I think one thing for 2024 that's kind of a cool thing that I'm going to be experimenting with, because now at this point, I'm not about redoing or sort of reworking my foundational email funnel. My foundational email funnel works, but now I'm like layering in other fun things. So I'm using ManyChat so that we have some Instagram funnels, which is something that I'm experimenting with. I know one thing that I'm sure, Kim, you've done, but I want to have like a little private podcast funnel that will sell my offers.
100%.
I would love to think about these different mediums, and it's something I called like omni funnels. We talk about omnipresent marketing, where like you want to be seen on all the different places, and like your ideal leads are kind of like, wow, I'm seeing Kim everywhere. And you have that omnipresence to your marketing. Well, it's the same idea. How can we use that omni funnel approach to build little funnels on the different platforms, so we can actually just hang with our audience where they like to follow us, or in the method that they like to consume content? Like for the podcast piece, if I'm, you know, growing my podcast, which I am, like I have a show called The Course Creator Show, and how perfect, what a better fit it would be if I wasn't sending them to download some PDF that kicks off an email funnel, if I was sending them into a private podcast feed that then sells the program on the back end of that, like, because they're getting it then in the medium that they prefer. That would be so much more ideal. And so those are the things this year that I'm going to be like focusing on and testing. I'm not the expert in all of them yet. I'm a big believer in like trial and error and figuring out what works. So that's what we're focused on this year.
Oh, so many good tips. And that's exactly what I've been hearing, right? I mean, there's so many unique ways and so many different ways that people are like learning and taking in information. And I don't know, I think it's something that we should be aware of and, you know, meet our people where they're at. That's what everybody always says. Yep. But try things, like just try things, because ManyChat is easy to try. You know, there's lots of different things. Like setting up a private podcast is not difficult. It's way easier than setting up a live video webinar. And you could try different mini podcasts to see which one people are really gravitating to and then lean into that and set it up as an evergreen lead magnet even. So there's so many fun, unique ways to be able to add different tools to the old evergreen funnel, right? Just to breathe life into it. So I love all of those. I guess we should wrap up. How are people able to find you, work with you, learn more about what you do?
Yeah. So because you're listening to this podcast, if you are a podcast listener, you can head on over to the Course Creator Show and hit that subscribe button. That would be amazing. I like my email. It's like podcast and email are the two main places that I love to show up. But I am also on Instagram. So it's gemma.bonhamcarter. You can find me over on the gram. And my two main programs are Course Creator School, which is for the person who wants to create and launch their first course. We walk you through that. And then if you are an experienced course creator, then you're probably the perfect fit for the Passit Project, which is a more high-touch program. We work together for a year, got an incredible crew of course creators in there, and we have so much going on. I can't even tell you all the things. So if you're interested in learning more about either of those programs, probably the fastest thing is to just DM me on Instagram, or you can head on over to gemmabonhamcarter.com. And all the things are listed there, including a whole host of lead magnets. So if you're wanting the free things, just go there. And there's a bunch of them for you.
Yeah, that's so great. And I'll have all that listed in the show notes as well. And just to end with a fun wrap-up question, is there any tool, book, resource that really supports you in what you do and where you've come from or how you live your life that you would be able to recommend, or a podcast or anything that you would
to share? What a good question. And I can only have one answer. This feels too difficult.
There are so many out there.
And I'm pretty like my old school list thing here that you have. I'm pretty old school. We use like the Google Drive. Like I almost feel like I just want to say like G Suite. It's like we do so much just with the stuff that's available in Google. As a business, we run so much on that. How about this? I will give you the name of a new tool that I'm really excited to start using. Which is going to, I've already started to play around with it, but we haven't totally finished our transition, but it's going to alleviate a huge pain point for us, which has been the collection and management of testimonials. And it's a tool called Senja.io. So it's Senja.io. And you can use it to collect testimonials. You can pop all your old testimonials in there. And then they make it so easy to not only organize, but to then share the testimonials in like graphics or on a whole wall, where you can just get embed code that you can like put in your emails or on your websites. Like I've literally got obsessed and fell down the rabbit hole with it in a big way. So that I can't say that it's one that we've used for years, but it's the one that I'm currently most excited about, I would say.
Ah, thanks for sharing that. I will totally be checking that out after, because I always think too, like testimonials or case studies or they're just such a valuable resource and something that should never be skipped over. You know, as you're building your business and brand, it's always something that you will continue to need. So I appreciate that. Thank you so much. And you know, I'll be like totally checking it out. Thank you so much for your time. I so appreciate it. I know the time's completely different over there. Are you in the afternoon?
Yes, I actually heard my kids come home and they've been amazingly quiet in the other room. So I'm sure as soon as I open this door, it'll be screams and giggles.
That's so great. Well, listen, enjoy the rest of your year in France. And you know, I will be keeping tabs on all the great stuff that you're doing. So thanks
so much for having me, Kim.
Thanks again for tuning into this week's episode of the Online Creator Podcast. If you haven't subscribed to the show yet, please do so on your favorite media player. And come check us out over on YouTube, where you have full access to our episodes on video there. You can check out the important links mentioned in today's episode in the show notes. And please join the conversation over on Instagram at May and James Co. I'll see you next week.